Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 101. This is Kevin DeFrango. To my right is Ken Phillips. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing real good, Kevin. It's good to be back recording another episode. I guess we both had some stuff kind of come up here over the last week. We weren't able to record last week.
But things have been a little bonkers at Stunt Granny Studios North in trying to relocate the North Studios themselves, so things have been a little busy in that department.
Yes, Kevin has a dumpster out front. He's been filling with some stuff he's clearing out of this place and getting ready to do some more renovations here. So that's always fun doing that stuff while you're living in a place.
Yeah, it kind of takes up a lot of time. So, that was definitely one of the reasons to hold off after the big 100 episode. Although we did jam that in on a Saturday.
Yeah, we did pretty good. I think we can pat ourselves on the back a little bit there.
Yeah, we went out of our way to get that one out.
Above and beyond the Call of Duty. If there was a medal in podcasting for going above and beyond the Call of Duty, I think that we could rightfully claim that medal.
Yep, for doing it on a Saturday instead of a Thursday or Wednesday or a Thursday.
Yep. This past weekend I was actually went on a little trip to Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky. It was a pretty cool trip, I gotta say. The caves
themselves.
Did you
meet any mammoths?
There were no mammoths, and I, from what I gathered, the caves are just named Mammoth Cave because they're actually really big caves. Like the ground down there in Kentucky is like set up to form a lot of caves because there's this limestone with this like layers of like harder rock on top.
Uh-huh.
So it like over time the water will dissolve away the limestone and leave the top layer intact, so that like is, you know, prime cave situation right there.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of like really big caves, and you have to like pay for a tour to be able to see them. So like the park ranger takes you through and tells you about the history and stuff. So a little shout out to our national park system, and in particular, the Mammoth Cave, worth checking out. It's only 4.5 hours away, so it really wasn't that bad.
Kentucky is not really all that far away.
Although the weird thing was, they were on Central Time there.
If you go far enough east, or west. Kentucky is split, I believe, in time zoneage.
Yes, it is split down the middle.
Some of it's east, some of it's central.
And I didn't really research that far into it, I guess, to realize that we were going to be traveling into a different time zone. Because we had been to Kentucky before, and it was still Eastern time. Didn't realize that the state was split down the middle that way.
Yeah. I don't know when I feel like we went through... We went through, I think, Louisville to get to Nashville.
So Nashville's on Central Time?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So I was just like, oh, it's this far west. Like, because I think we got to Louisville and then went straight south from there, basically, to get to Nashville. If I'm, I am not pulling up a Google map on purpose at this point.
All right.
And someone can yell at me. If they want to later.
Yeah, at Kevin on Twitter.
At DeFrango11. I will take your Twitter beef about the exact direction of where Nashville is in relation to Louisville.
But anyway, your corrections vis-a-vis Columbus to Nashville. Yes.
Both of them are in Central Time, however, so that part is not arguable.
No. Nor would I want to argue with Kevin. We didn't come here to argue. We come here to talk about, just whatever we find interesting, I guess, throughout the week that we have noticed.
And it's almost as if there is this story every week, Ken, at this juncture,
Yeah, it is a weird, you're right.
where in which this was another airline animal situation.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anyone had seen the news about this one, but it was a case of a animal being on board the plane, and from what I understand, having paid for a ticket, well, whatever, paid for whatever fee that you would pay for a dog to ride on the passenger plane. And for some reason, they decided that the dog had to go in the overhead container. And this ended up being fatal to the dog. So I guess I'm assuming something shifted up there and crushed the dog.
I would assume so, because it really should have had enough air, I would think. Those things probably aren't airtight.
Well, that's what they're probably closed pretty sturdily, so when something shifts around up there, it's not gonna pop open. And people do put heavy things
Oh.
up in that overhead, so
Yeah. And I guess the one thing that really, it's like you're judging the story without really knowing the story in this case.
Don't let that stop us now, Kevin.
Well, and I think every sane person has mentioned this when seeing this story. How as the owner did you let that happen? Like, I know that you can get flustered sometimes, but to the point where they don't let you get that, like, if you got it up there, and then, when you get to cruising altitude, don't you go, hey, kind of start harping on the fact that it's just like, you put my dog up there. Like, it's pr was probably fine, but can we get it out of the overhead bin now? Like, even to that point, like, if you let it initially happen, like, I would think that it'd slowly dawn on you that you really needed to get that out. 'Cause you're not going to see a steward coming through, until they get to cruising altitude.
Well, it was interesting because I did read another article after sharing this link. I think it was on Slate, where they gave some advice on what you should do if you find yourself in that situation. And they said that if you don't feel safe about something like that, that you can just you may have to leave the plane, but that really shouldn't be the way that they handled that situation.
Oh.
If that had gone to someone in authority, I think they could have avoided having to do that, because I don't like that's not the procedure there, I would say.
Right, 'cause I feel like someone and I read the article probably when it happened. But I was trying to remember if they
But unfortunately, the flight attendants do have a lot of power over the passengers, in that they can be basically ejected from the plane if they're uncooperative. So if you're really, oh, and they also said to ask to speak to the head flight attendant rather than the captain, because the captain is not going to want to cross the flight crew to poison relations or whatever. So I thought that was interesting. If people are ever in a weird situation like that, they could remember to ask for the chief flight attendant instead of the captain. Just to go not to go over anyone's heads. Preserve the what do you call
chain of
that? Chain of
command.
command, yes,
Oh,
exactly.
well, yeah. I mean, you're never going to get a pilot Like, I don't think there's going to be anyone important enough in the cabin.
And you don't want to distract the captain anyway. Like, let him focus on his job, right?
Yeah, I would prefer the person flying that giant metal thing to pay attention to what they're doing to make sure that thing doesn't come down.
Right.
I'm completely okay with this. Even if a lot of it is kind of, from what I seem to read, kind of built in at this point.
Yeah.
I still prefer that someone be up there in case something weird happens.
Well, that's exactly right. If something weird does happen, that's what he's there for. So you don't want him to be distracted just in case.
Yeah. You never know when that something weird can happen.
Yeah. There's no need to bother him with that kind of thing. Although, in this woman's defense, I think she was like... not English as a first language.
Yeah, and she was she had a newborn with her too,
and maybe even an elderly relative. Maybe I'm making that part up, but yeah. So anyway, she had like some other things going on too. So in terms of at least a newborn, possibly an elderly relative that I'm imagining.
Well, she definitely had another daughter.
Oh, a daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. So a newborn, she had two children, at least.
Yeah, so she...
That's a lot going on.
And not being a native English speaker and not being sure of, like, what her rights are as much, maybe? Of course, I'm projecting some of this now, but I could see that. Maybe more so than I would be willing to go with that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, well, it is an unfortunate situation, so hopefully, I think this could be like the, we've seen this pendulum kind of swing back and forth in terms of, dog rights as far as dog versus airplane, I guess.
Like, yeah, well, we've had, the other stories have not been dogs, which I guess is kind of the, because we had a peacock. And, the other one was a dog, wasn't it? That they had to leave off the plane and they flushed it.
No, that wasn't I think that was a hamster or guinea pig.
Oh, yeah, that was the guinea pig. So, yeah.
No one flushed a dog. That would have been terrible. And a pretty small dog, too.
Yeah,
really big toilet. I don't know. Anyway, either way you slice it, you need some more explanation there with that sort of idea there that you would flush a dog down the toilet. But
yeah, so there were some alternative animals, I guess, to dogs.
And, of course, the peacock that was denied. A seat on flight to the indignation of its owner. But, yeah, they may have... So this woman may have had to kind of wait for the next flight or something if push came to shove. But at least her dog would be alive, I guess. So that's...
Yeah, I mean, I guess that just seems like it still, to me, would be a priority. Like, over... You know, even if you have your kid and you don't have the... Yeah, I mean, she had a lot going on, but you've got to know if you like it. It's an animal and shouldn't go in something that possibly could be, you know, deprived of air, if nothing else. Like, even if you don't factor in shifting luggage, like, yeah. I don't know. I guess I still feel it, like, it was a 3-hour flight. Like, you couldn't really get anyone's attention during that 3-hour flight.
Well, why is it, you think, airtight in there? Inside the
I don't think it is. I bet you there's got to be some type of... I agree with you that there's some degree of strength to it, because it does have to deal with turbulence and things of that nature. So there's definitely a security to it, but I bet you that it's not completely snug. But that would still be a limited amount of air that you would have in there, and it would probably get hot if it's all contained and you're still breathing out.
True. So, whatever happened, I guess we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, again, we weren't there, so it's kind of hard to say exactly what did or didn't happen.
Yeah. It's just,
and it's unfortunate, and it did kind of bring to it. It did mention that more animals seem to die on United flights than other airlines.
Well, that's a bad statistic, I would say,
because I think they had like twice the number of animal deaths. The airline has the highest rate of incidences, with 2.24 for every 10,000 animals transported.
Oh, incidents?
Yeah.
Not necessarily a death, but just something going on.
Yeah. Oh, and this is the other thing. I love my pets. They're not going on vacation with me. That is just a hassle. Do not need. And it's something like that that would definitely freak me out from doing something of this nature. I mean, and granted, a lot of times the dogs that go on these types of flights are small dogs.
Right.
That would normally probably, be large enough for a book bag or something that you would otherwise be able to bring on a flight.
Yeah, I feel like bringing dogs into spaces where they really don't want to be. Like, I don't think a dog understands an airplane. I'm sure it's like a terrifying experience.
That too.
And just to be not knowing what's going on in a completely unknown situation. Speaking of which, it reminds me on our trip to the cave, someone had a, emotional support dog with them down in the cave. And, the dog was like whining and nervous basically the whole time.
Oh, so gotcha.
It was kind of a bummer for me. I was like, and, you get a little bit nervous being underground for too long anyway, I think. And
I guess it's a little surprising. I mean, I feel like those things are usually trained fairly well to not be a nuisance like that.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was with this one.
Yeah,
it's hard to tell all the time, but right. It did seem to be have a lot of nervous energy. And I think this guy, it was a guy who had the dog, was there with these two kids. So I think he was trying to help the kids through, but he needed the dog to help him through, I guess. I don't know.
Oh.
It was a little
interesting.
Yeah. It was a strange group. And I was annoyed at one point when we were stuck at the back of the line just in front of that group. Because, yeah, the dog was not dealing with the cave situation very well. And I said, that's another situation where you might want to leave your dog at home. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, unless you really do need it to get around.
Yeah.
It'd be, I guess it'd be kind of interesting, for a blind person to go into a cave.
Well, I mean, would that be really a disadvantage versus everyday life? Although there was like parts that were wet and slippery and, but there's a lot of handrails too, so I don't know.
I guess some of the caves I've been to haven't had anything like that to support yourself necessarily, because it's just like you're not allowed to touch the walls most of the time because there's living organisms on them. So, like, you can't really, like, reach out and tap that much stuff.
Right. I think as I recall, the rules that they said was you don't touch the walls unless the walls reach out to touch you. Then you can touch them back so that you don't, like, fall, basically.
Right.
Because there's times when it does come in pretty close. And I mean, some caves you have to like crawl through like small spaces, but
oh god, yeah.
none of the places, none of the tour we took was that bad. One passage was called "Fat Man's Misery," which I think was somewhat insensitive. and you did have to kind of turn sideways to get through that part, but.
Ken, do you think 180-pound dog would fit through this opening that you're talking about?
Do you mean 180-pound puppy, Kevin? Because I would say no, definitely not. And why would you even ask such a thing?
such a
strange question.
I am just wondering because evidently there has been someone that has decided to breed, because we watched an additional, I believe that I posted this story, but you showed us a video prior to the show about the gentleman who decided to start breeding what is an ancient dog, and he felt like what it would have looked like from the past.
Yeah, I think this was a big dog in Persia, from what I could glean, which would be modern-day Iran.
Yeah.
But they showed kind of sculptures of the dog to give you a representation of what it used to be. And it's a real big dog, you know, with a...
yeah, I kind of had to laugh a little bit when the guy was talking about how the haunches were really big. And I'm like...
He was really focused on the rear of the dog being big. Multiple times he...
Yes.
Was hammering on that point.
And if we would have started drinking once for every time he said vision at the beginning of... And we only watched half of the video.
Right.
Definitely with the beer that we're drinking tonight, we would have been hammered.
Well, especially with this beer, but even with the regular beer, I think we would still be reeling from the effects because he referred to his vision quite a few times.
And I guess that's kind of the funny thing. Like, people interbreed dogs all the time. So, like, to think that this is something weird, like, there's a reason that there's a Labradoodle. you know, people wanted a Labrador but needed the poodle hair. So, we got a mixed breed in that department. So, I mean, this guy was basically just inventing or trying to reinvent an old breed.
Yes.
And he really had no...
It's really a new breed
in a lot of ways.
There's no like DNA, I don't think, of the original what they call it, a Mesopotamian molossus. So like there's no way to sort of get a scientific test to say that this is or is not a molossus, a Mesopotamian molossus. Well, that's a tongue twister.
Yeah, it is kind of a mouthful.
But it does look like a dog that maybe you would think was from a different time. Or it almost doesn't look like a dog in some ways.
Well, a lot of those mastiffs to start with are huge. I mean, because the fact that, because this one in particular, this story in particular, was a 9-month-old. That was already 180 pounds. Now, I will say that Kia, for the most part, stopped growing around a year old. Well, stopped growing height-wise around a year old. And then kind of added weight after that. Because I had a better gauge on her than Cayenne. So, I would say that this dog is 6 foot tall.
Now, I guess that's like stretched. But,
yeah, stand. If it were standing,
yes, on its hind legs.
On its hind legs,
to be painfully clear.
Obvious.
Yes. I don't want you to think that, like, the dog standing on all fours is going to be 6 feet tall, because that would be alarming, I would say.
I actually would be. I would be more interested in what its shoulder height is, honestly, than what it is, you know, standing on its hind legs, because you know, again, like, Cayenne, my boxer, was 27 inches, and he was really tall. But I know that those dogs are even taller than that. Like, it would probably be at least half of your height.
Right. Well,
you know, standing on all fours. Like, it would probably be, like, 3 foot tall, at least.
And 180 pounds is as heavy as a lot of people, I would say.
Right.
So that, and being 6 foot tall, is basically human-sized at this point.
Yeah, and and that's something that I didn't look up, but, cause, it was part, English Mastiff was what he used, and, what was the, other breed of, Mastiff?
You have to scroll down a little bit more. So close. It's a English and Neapolitan Mastiff.
Yeah, how did I forget the Neapolitan? Because the Neapolitans really have a face that there are just so many folds. It's like a Shar Pei, but a 200-pound dog. And that's what I was looking up to see what. English Mastiffs are regularly between 150 and 250 pounds.
So that's also a big dog.
Yeah, I mean, these dogs are not... height, 30 inches. So yeah, Cayenne was almost as tall as these beastly things. It just didn't weigh nearly that much. Because, even the females, they're saying, were average 120 to 180, which is still quite large.
Oh, yeah.
For a dog.
I mean, that's basically human size. There's people that weigh 120, I'd say, for sure.
I bet you my sister probably still weighs under 120.
Yeah, it can happen.
yeah.
So that's pretty crazy, man. Well, I'm not sure if these dogs are going to catch on or not, but that video was kind of entertaining. I felt like the guy was really a character, the breeder.
Oh, yeah. Like, anytime I watch those, I do watch dog shows on occasion, and those people do always seem crazy. That's why that Best in Show is still one of my favorite movies.
The mockumentary about the dog show contestants.
Yeah, I mean, they don't quite seem that over the top, but I can see why that scene inspired them to go in that direction.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny movie.
Yeah, so it's crazy. Yeah, I don't know if I'd want a dog that big. And they usually aren't that much of a problem. Like, they're not that they're so large that they don't tend to be very active.
Well, he did, the breeder did say that he was looking, or at least considering the aggressiveness of the dog as one of the traits that they were trying to
bring into it.
Bring into it as well, yeah. So it would be kind of a guard dog situation, I would say, or at least that would be an effective role for that kind of dog, I think. It is kind of scary looking. I mean, the way that this dog turned out, and for some reason we couldn't quite figure it out, the dog doesn't look like it has any ears, or at least
not. Oh, yeah, and I guess that was kind of the interesting thing.
They're very short.
Yeah, this one,
that's like an updated picture, right?
Well, and I think this is a very specific one. Like, in the video, they were just showing some of the puppies, I think. 'Cause they said this one was the largest of a litter. And it seems like that guy's kind of been working towards this for a while. It doesn't seem like he just came up with this plan last year.
No, I seem to recall him having a vision of this early in his life. And he kind of worked really hard to get there, from what I remember. If you listen, you know, he'll tell you himself if you watch the video. But, no, I mean,
oh,
I guess
man.
I could poo-poo this a little bit and say, like what you said, it is just a different crossbreeding of dogs, and there's really no way to know that this is
what that dog truly looked like.
Truly that breed, or even really close to that breed, for all we know.
Right.
But the guy does kind of like do a pretty good job of marketing. And this is a freaking, I would say, pretty imposing dog.
Yeah, if you want a giant, scary dog that is probably going to weigh more than you, have at it.
And you feel like, you know, the common ruffian or whoever you're going to be dealing with is maybe seen German Shepherds or Dobermans and is kind of going to be more mentally prepared to know what to do. You really want to, like, knock them off their psychological game. I think this could be a good option because it's just really...
Again, have an animal that more than likely is larger than your intruder.
Yeah. And it does kind of...
Or at least the same size as the intruder.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like something out of the NeverEnding Story, vaguely.
It does remind me of, what's Hagrid's dog's name? But he was a Neapolitan Mastiff, which is not surprising that this kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, I think that was, I don't know, the mother or whatever, but they were showing that on the video.
Mother!
Dancing. Nice. They showed either the sire or the dame of this dog. And yes, the Neapolitan Mastiff is a really weird, freaky looking breed, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now, I did own a pug, which is maybe foreshadowing for something that's coming up later. But yeah, so I can't really say too much about dogs looking weird. This Neapolitan Mastiff is a strange looking dog.
Yeah, I can certainly see the boxer being within the same family as the mastiffs. They definitely have some characteristics that are the same. Just obviously the size is, though large in a boxer, not to this extent of extra large.
Yeah, I mean, this dog is a whole new breed, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it is. So if you want to go out and get it, Mesopotamian Molossus.
Yeah, or American Molossus, maybe, is what this guy is calling his...
Yeah, I think he might have said that.
Just to be safe, look up Molossus. It's like Colossus with an M.
Yeah, that's why it's so. I so want to say molasses,
right?
Seeing the word, but there's a double O in there, so it really throws me off.
I've had to really work not to cave into that temptation as well, but I think we pulled through it pretty well here, Kevin.
Well, we can say. That one puppy, unfortunately, did not pull through things well, Ken.
Yeah, I guess if there's like this, we're kind of entering the puppy portion of our show, and we kind of put the good news puppy up front, I think. things do not end as well for this puppy. This was a strange story, I gotta say, Kevin. And I don't know if we necessarily have gotten to the bottom of this one yet.
No, it is, no, I don't need to go beyond the headlines right now. Headline is just good. Turtle euthanized after teacher allegedly feeds it puppy.
Now that is one of those headlines that's probably going to rank up there if we were going to do like a top 10 headlines over the course of our show.
From OPA shows. we're starting a new list starting at 101, and this one's already a humdinger of a headline.
Yeah, I would say so.
We'll have to group them in hundreds.
This is definitely the top of this 100. Of course, you know, being only one episode, maybe it's not that impressive, but there's a lot of action going on in this headline here, Kevin.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because honestly,
wait, let's just repeat that in case maybe people aren't following what we're saying here. There was a turtle euthanized. So the turtle was put down after a teacher allegedly feeds it, i.e. the turtle, puppy.
As in a small dog.
A puppy. So yeah, the turtle was fed a puppy and then killed afterwards. So that is a confusing headline, Kevin.
Yeah, and there's a lot of twists and turns as far as I'm concerned in reading.
For some reason, there's a teacher involved, which is not explained by the headline exactly. This headline definitely raises a lot of questions. More questions than it answers.
For sure.
Which is good, I think, because it makes you want to read the article. That's what a headline should do, Kevin.
Yeah, and the first paragraph always is supposed to bring you in. Days after a biology teacher allegedly fed a sick puppy to the animal in front of the students in his class.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't seem like a great idea to me. There's a couple different ways you could look at this, Kevin. And I was surprised to see that the amount of support that the teacher had received was nearly as much as the condemnation the teacher received.
Yeah, it seemed like this, being in Idaho, where it originated, it seemed like there was a fairly small response. So let's say this was a...
There's not a lot of huge population centers in Idaho, is what you're saying, Kevin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Boise, I guess.
There are... Well, yeah, I would imagine the Boise is somewhat large-ish. But I'm also assuming that there are probably more people on Bethel Road than in this city. Because I believe the voting was like 360 to 260 or something like that.
Oh, you know what? It might have been 2,600 and 3,000.
Oh.
Unless I was completely missing my...
I thought it was only 1,000. Difference, but if it was less than 1,000, I was just like, oh my god. Or more than 1,000.
Yeah, I mean, it was around there. It was still, like, within striking distance, I would say.
Yeah, like, I would have called it just, without even still looking at the numbers, a 60-40 split. By the way, as 60 negative, 40 positive still.
Okay.
And there's some things to kind of break down. Now, the sick puppy part, A, it just makes me think about the band. B, if it did have some terminal illness, I suppose you're kind of Jack Kevorkian this thing to an early demise, which...
Well, now, to be fair to Jack Kevorkian, he never fed anyone to a snapping turtle. that I'm aware of.
But this is true.
To me, that is like... And that's one of the things that one of the parents said... That was a supporter of the teacher. They viewed it as a quote unquote humane to feed the puppy to the turtle. Now, I do believe one key fact is in dispute here as to whether the dog was alive or dead when it was being fed to the turtle.
Well, and I don't know why my brain automatically went to. It was some type of puppy chow situation.
Some you kind know, of puppy chow situation. I feel like that needs to be called out. If we had episode titles, that could be a strong contender there for sure.
Well, what I mean by that is, I don't know why when I read the headline, I was thinking that the dog had previously died and the guy turned it into, like, he put a puppy through a grinder and made puppy hamburger and fed it to the turtle.
Okay.
For some reason, that went through my head. But I, again, we're not exactly sure how this puppy got fed to this turtle. Like, if you ground it up, why did you tell your students that you were feeding it puppy?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And not just say, I'm feeding this some beef. Everyone is going to be okay if you fed it some beef. But, like, if you had it... And now I'm thinking about... I just had flashbacks to when the ex-wife and I had a snake. And we fed it live mice.
Yes, I feel like this is, like... several times the snake has made a cameo in our podcast here recently.
Well, when there's death in animals, yeah. I guess, you know, it's something that I go back to that kind of gives you a little bit of perspective. It's just like, well, I was killing a live animal at that point.
Well, you were maybe the instrument of its death, but technically I think the snake was doing the killing.
Well,
I'm just trying to, you know, set the record straight here.
The instrument of death.
Yeah. Well, you were, in some ways, you know, enabling it. I'm not sure. You were complicit with the snake somehow. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that was the ex-wife's decision to go that direction. But anyway, I don't know why. I think it's just really strange. Like, even though I watched a snake on a regular basis eat mice, I guess I still think it's strange to go, hey, I'm going to feed this puppy. Despite the fact that it's dying, I like if you're
well,
feeding
that's a really
it.
Confusing part to me too. Sorry to interrupt, but why is this a sick puppy? Like, why is that even part of the story? Is that supposed to like make it better? I guess that the puppy was sick and he was trying to put it out of its misery. Like the puppy had some kind of living will that said that this is the way it wanted to go out. I don't know, but that seemed like a weird detail to add in.
Well,
and it's like, is that really great to feed the turtle if the dog is sick?
Well, yeah, that's kind of the other thing. It's just like, is that going to cause the turtle a problem?
Yeah.
If it's sick.
I feel like that is going to be the thing that really gets this teacher in trouble. Like, even if they're able to convince the people that everything else about that was cool, potentially getting the turtle sick. I don't know, man.
Oh.
Because I'm doubting.
You know what? It does. It did. The woman did say baby puppy scream. So I would guess that definitely throws out my puppy chow possibility.
Wait, baby puppy scream?
Yeah.
Where does it say that? This is late breaking news here. Oh, allowing children to watch an innocent baby puppy scream because it is being fed to an animal. That is violence. That is not okay. Now, I think that was said by a parent who is not actually there, but...
it was some... the animal rights
activist. Oh, the animal rights activist. Oh, okay. who I don't believe was actually in the classroom at that time. But
no.
So there's some people who do seem to believe that that's what happened. If so, I guess that does make it worse.
Yeah.
It's kind of traumatizing, I would think.
Yeah, because I guess puppies are... as opposed to mice, puppies are a little more relatable. And kind of, like, I guess I don't know why you do that. Like,
and kids, kids, like, stereotypically love puppies, I would say. this is something
right.
that kids are into. And, you know, adorably cute, et cetera, et cetera. I don't understand how that could be okay to feed a live puppy to a turtle in your classroom.
Yeah, and there's that, like, it's just like, what did you think was going to happen, dude? Like, if this puppy truly had some terminal illness, and it was safe to feed it to the turtle.
And it had a living will, of course, it wanted to go out this way. It said, I always had this thing where I'd be eaten by a turtle. Please, respect my wishes. And make the arrangements.
Yeah, don't just euthanize me. Just have me go out death by turtle.
I want to go down fighting. I mean, I know the turtle's got
fighting,
a shell.
Fighting, except not fighting. Except just sitting there and getting eaten alive.
Right. People are into weird stuff. It's like, you know, but I just would say that if this was the case... even then, it's still questionable.
Yeah, and it's also the other thing where this guy, he very well could have been a great teacher all the years and kind of meant the best. But this is one where I'm like, nah, you fucked up, man. I'm sorry, you just don't do this.
Right. Yeah.
Even if the puppy was genuinely sick and there was nothing you could do to solve the problem. Because that does... I mean, it doesn't always happen just in old dogs. So, you know, there may have been reasons why that puppy should not be with us any longer, but...
Yeah, there's definitely more humane ways to go about that, though.
But yeah, there are way more humane ways, and definitely not doing it in front of your class.
Right.
Like, that's kind of the other part. The whole crowd part always gets you. Either if you film yourself doing something dumb or illegal, or if you have a crowd. That's always a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Just if that's your sick entertainment, just do it on your own.
Yeah, I mean, don't put it on YouTube for millions of people to see and potentially judge you for. I mean, come on. Who would do something like that, Kevin?
Well, another headline that. Maybe is in the running for another good one. Man guilty of hate crime for filming pugs, quote, Nazi salutes, unquote.
Yeah, so just to parse that one. There's a lot going on there too, Kevin. You're right.
Yeah, and there was a lot that I felt like in the article...
Because somehow this man is being held guilty for the pug's Nazi salutes. So that is really raising questions there. To the extent to which the pug should be responsible for his own behavior. I guess, I don't know, Kevin.
The tone of the article and then hearing somebody else's account of it talking to Ricky Gervais... because I don't remember the gentleman's name. But he was on Ricky Gervais's radio show. I do know that he has one on Sirius XM called Deadly Serious. I'm not sure if that's where it took place. But in this article it says he insisted he made the video to annoy his girlfriend. Now, that makes it seem like this video was just posted without any context.
Yeah, I think that there was a little thing at the beginning, and he did say towards the end, too, that he wasn't racist. He was just trying to be funny.
Yeah, he said his problem evidently was the fact that no matter what rotten thing this dog did,
it was so cute that it was impossible not to be cute.
Right, to his girlfriend. So he wanted to do something that was horrifically offensive. And evidently, this message preceded the video which ensued. Which, he got the dog to turn around and pay attention every time he said gas the Jews.
Yeah, he was basically training the dog to react to him saying gas the Jews.
And instead of saying shake, which most normal people would say, he said Sieg Heil. Because honestly, what that dog was doing was shaking.
Right. It's a typical like dog putting its paw out, which, you know, I suppose does kind of look like the Nazi salute in some universe, but
right.
Really, it's more of a handshake motion for a dog.
Right. Yeah, they cannot really get the right trajectory with their arms.
No.
To properly do that.
Yeah, it's hard to do that that salute for dogs. But to me, you know, I felt bad for laughing, but I did think that this video was kind
of
funny.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I'm just like, okay, I can understand that it's funny. Okay.
But I also
maybe
did
this
find
guy
myself.
Maybe this guy is racist. And then as the video kept on going, I'm like, oh, come on, man. This is going on entirely too long. And you can't post that to YouTube at this time, because it was posted in April of 2016. So it was posted a few years back.
Right. This was pre-election, I guess, to put this in a time frame for people.
Right.
So there's but I think it was, you know, a funny idea, but I do wonder if maybe the part that really got people the most was the whole gas the Jews thing. Just because, like, I could see if you had family members who maybe were killed, or, you know, people in your family's history who were killed in the concentration camps, I bet you would not find that so funny.
Oh, right.
And I can understand being upset about that sort of thing, which it was a Jewish person who brought the case against this the individual who made the video. So, to me, that was maybe where it is. I don't know. There was something funny about it, but at the same time, it has to be like really, really funny to be able to kind of make up for that kind of I guess needless, you know, painful thing for people.
It's definitely something that you're not going to get away with these days if you want to. Like, I'm sure that somebody has actually done this with their dog and just hasn't filmed it who actually has a problem.
Oh. Well, and I understand. And the other thing that's a little bit weird about, like, doing Nazi, like, as parody or as, like, to be, isn't this funny, is that there are, like, real people out there who really do believe this stuff today and are out there marching, you know, and things. So, like, maybe not the greatest thing to be trying to parody right now. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But to what you said, this was made before kind of the recent upsurge in nationalist
ideology. It started over there first. Election-wise, it actually did start
with the whole Brexit
on that side of the pond. But and they also have, I feel like they have stricter speech laws over there sometimes too.
They don't, I believe. Yeah, they don't have the First Amendment like we do. So there are more restrictions on what you can say. So
yeah,
according to their laws. This, I guess, crossed the line. And
So I guess I wasn't completely surprised. Like, yeah, it's just like, oh, come on, man. Like I said, like, if he prefaced the video when he put it up is, this is a joke, then I just have a hard time not going with that. I mean, I guess then everyone that really hated it or really hated Jews could just say, oh, hey, this is a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just roll with this.
That's kind of the potential pitfall there. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, because people would joke about it, and then there would also then be people being like, "Oh, this is freaking awesome! I really hate the Jews. We really should gas the Jews," you know, and they would just be sharing this video and loving it. So that's the potential pitfall there for sure.
Right. So yeah, there's a lot going on. Like there's a lot of gray. It's just like, yeah, just don't, like, find something else to annoy people with. Like, because I feel like I would probably still, like, I feel like I did a lot of stupid shit that was offensive, just because, especially when we were in college. So I can kind of understand going there psychologically. It's not even like that. It definitely isn't that you believe it. It's just that you know that it'll get to people. So
it'll
you
get a
do
reaction.
It.
Yeah, exactly. It's a shocking thing. They'll get a reaction. So I just think it's not the really the coolest thing to say, especially that phrase in particular. So that's kind of my problem with it.
Yeah. Again, like, you've got to expect this is coming at you if you post this. Like, even if you say that it's funny, like, you've got to expect some type of response out of it. Just, again, you know that you're trying to be offensive. If I would have posted something that I had done offensive on YouTube back in the day, I guess I would have expected some level of blowback and been fine with it.
Well, you know, I think that's a difference in the laws here too, so.
Well, and there's that also.
Yeah. So, Kevin, it's about that time for the Belltime Beer of the Week, I'd say.
Yeah, and this one, my lovely wife took me down to Athens, Ohio to visit a trio of breweries. I believe I've mentioned at least, oh yeah, because I mentioned the Jack Yo's beer that I brought back in the growler on a few of the shows. This one was from one of the other places down there. I got a 22 of Devil's Kettle, Satan's Finest.
Yeah.
And it's an Imperial Black Ale, aged in bourbon barrels.
Yes. So if you are wanting something light on the alcohol percentage wise scale, this is probably not going to be your choice. Clocking in at, is it 11.2 you said?
11.5.
I almost shortchanged it there.
Yep. By 0.3%, you were trying to shortchange it. So yeah, again, that guy's a vision. If we had drank every time, it would have been like doing an hour of power.
The brewer had a vision of making a drink that would get you rocked by just having one, for sure. So
yeah, if one of us sat down with one of these by ourselves, we would be doing just fine.
But it's definitely a powerful taste, but not ridiculously so. So it does work for me.
Yeah, black ales are normally, because I've had some smoked ones before. Because of the dark properties, they carry over kind of that flavor of something like a stout. So it's kind of more full-bodied. So I always think that those take to bourbon better in a lot of ways than the lighter beers.
Yeah.
So that kind of helps to start with, even though that it is, because it's just a black ale and not an IPA, it's not overly hoppy. It's not like the, and it's unlike a stout or even a porter, it's not, doesn't have that thick feeling to it.
That's true.
So it does, it has a different flavor to it, and I like it, and I'm glad I picked it up on the way out of town.
Definitely has that signature bourbon barrel aged flavor there.
Yeah, there is definitely some bourbon in it. So yeah, if you get the chance, head on down to Athens, Ohio. I'm not sure how far they distribute, but it's definitely worth the trip. Ken, once you go to Kentucky, I want you to go to Athens.
Yeah.
At DeFrango 11, at Gozer 33, at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you may listen to us. And I'm out of here, Ken.
All right, have a great week, guys.